All right, so as this picks up, we'll get people joining on. But of course, you know, anytime you've got, you know, any message that's, you know, right of Mao, Facebook is doing its best to try to censor people. So we'll get this up on Freedom's Phoenix afterwards and Libertarian Advisor and make sure that the people get to see this. But it's my pleasure today to welcome. Good evening, everybody. This is Tim Pichot from the Libertarian Advisor podcast. And it's my honor to welcome Sheriff Richard Mack to the podcast today. Sheriff Richard Mack is running for Congress, actually in my home district, which is Congressional District 8, which can be found in the Northwest Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. And I'll let the sheriff get to the details when it comes to the primary, when the general election is, how this entire process works, and how you guys can support him. But first, I want to get into who Sheriff Richard Mack is, and hopefully this is right. So he served as sheriff for 8 years in Graham County, which is in southeastern Arizona. While he was sheriff, he sued the federal government over the Brady Bill, took it all the way to the Supreme Court, and most importantly, he won that case. So arguably the most constitutional sheriff there is. You know, there's probably not anyone that's done as much for gun rights as the man who's sitting in front of me right here, so we're honored to have him here. The sheriff is also the son of an FBI agent who, and the sheriff spent a year as an undercover narcotics agent, and after being an undercover narcotics agent, Mr. Mack came to the realization that the drug war was a complete farce and became part of LEAP, or Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. So that is something that certainly sets you apart. Is that a little bit too loud for you?
It keeps cutting in and out.
You know what? Let's...
Okay, now it's on.
All right, are we good now?
But it is a little loud.
Okay, let me, how's that?
Good.
A little bit better?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. Just getting a little excited here. So the sheriff was also an activist in the Bundy standoff, which was probably one of the most courageous acts I've ever seen. And for those of you who don't know the whole story, this was probably one of the most epic moments in American history. And really, it's a shame that not a lot of people are aware of this. I remember I was actually driving back from California when this was going on, and I was tempted to go up there with you guys. I had already been away from my family for a few days, and I think I was already on thin ice a little bit up there, as you can understand. But you know, just seeing, you know, the courageousness that it took for you guys to do that, and then seeing the federal government stand down. I mean, it could have easily been Lexington and Concord Part 2. I was watching the live stream from, I think it was David Knight on from InfoWars was there as well. So that's how I was keeping abreast of that entire situation. But the sheriff has also written 6 books, has appeared at nearly 200 Tea Party rallies, and is the founder of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, and he is a member of the NRA Hall of Fame. He's been endorsed by the likes of Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, Ted Nugent, Judge Andrew Napolitano, and most recently, the Republican Liberty Caucus, and a list of achievements, accolades, and activisms. I could keep going on and on and on. So we want to welcome the sheriff to the podcast. Hopefully, I didn't get too much wrong with that introduction. And, you know, first, I want you to tell us, you know, a little bit about this election, why you decided to run, and, you know, when the election is.
Well, I've never stopped being an activist, and that's why I'm running. This is part of the activist work that I do, because I've always been about freedom and personal liberty. And the Constitution is the foundation of America, and I just wish that we had politicians that would follow it. And so I'm trying to expose the people I'm running against as being, what's the nice way to say it? Unconstitutional.
Part of the machine.
Part of the machine that is replacing our Constitution with political correctness. So that PC has destroyed our Constitution and replaced it. And so, for instance, why do we have $21 trillion in debt? Oh, because the Democrats did that, right? No, it's the Democrats and the Republicans that are completely culpable for our national debt. Well, who continues deficit spending? Well, we just saw a typical example of that yesterday or today when they're saying, oh, yes, we're going to have more welfare programs, more entitlement programs, more military spending, and it just keeps going on and on and on. And the clock that you can look up on the internet that shows the rate of spending in America has never slowed. It keeps going at the same rate no matter if Republicans or Democrats are in charge. And so those are some of my complaints, and I do want to make President Trump aware of that, and that President Trump, I believe, he needs a backup officer.
He needs reinforcements.
He needs reinforcements. And who better as a reinforcement and a backup officer than Sheriff Richard Mack? That's me. That's what I've done most of my career. And I honestly believe that President Trump does not know and is not aware of some of these problems. For instance, I'll bet you a dollar to a donut he does not know about a lot of the corruption of the IRS. He might know some because it's very ubiquitous. It's been around a long time.
And they've gone after him several times.
Yes. But I'm positive he doesn't know about the subterfuge of the BLM or the Forest Service and all the crimes that they've committed. Or that the FDA has caused the opioid epidemic in America. Those are all approved drugs by the FDA, and doctors sell them and deal them like candy.
Jeff Sessions actually said it was marijuana that caused the opioid epidemic.
What a ridiculous. You know, and I've said this before. I support a lot of the stuff that Trump has done. And why did Trump appeal to people like you and me? Because he shoved it in the face of both the Republican and Democrat establishment and the mainstream media. Of course we love that. But he made some promises that I really want to help him fulfill. Ronald Reagan made some promises I still want to help come to fruition.
The debt went up underneath Reagan as well. And then the debt, the $21 trillion, doesn't even include any of the unfunded obligations.
Doesn't include
Social Security, doesn't include Medicare, which is a bigger unfunded liability than Social Security. Yeah. And the only really problem I have with Trump is there was several things that he pointed out when he was running as a candidate that then changed his tune on that now that he's president, particularly when it comes to the economy. He would point out that these job numbers were rigged or fake. Right. And he points out that black unemployment, well, what he doesn't point out is that 40% of blacks aren't even in the labor force, but which the actual, when you compare everybody, it's not too far different either. It's like 38% or something is not in the labor force. And so it's really disheartening where, you know, seeing him campaign on this, seeing him campaign that the stock market's a big, fat, ugly bubble in 2016, right. But now it's his big, fat, ugly bubble. And so I've made a point that it was very unwise of him to marry himself to the stock market because, you know, now that, you know, we've seen what's going on today and the past few days, and I think that that's one big tactical error. And another thing people aren't really taking into account from the economy, and we'll get back to you, is that when it comes to the economy, they're not talking about, you know, you've got the debt is going up. I think it went from like $200 billion deficit to, I think we're going to be close to $1 trillion this year. We're talking about, okay, we're going to increase spending on this, increase spending on that. There's no, the tax cuts, yeah, I'm great. There's tax cuts, but what, there's been no government cuts to any spending. And so now the free market's going to get blamed for this when we don't even have a free market. And it just drives me nuts because I see the writing on the wall, and if we don't get good people like you in Congress, then what's going to happen is we're going to have a Bernie Sanders is going to be there for 2020 or Oprah or somebody else. And you know, that's my only complaint with Trump is that he's taken credit for some of this stuff, and I see it's going to come back around to bite him. And I also see America's going to get checkmated at some point when it comes to the debt, because there's no way out of the situation. And as soon as rates start going up, it's game over
for that. And he really shouldn't have got married to the stock market at all. You're absolutely correct. But there's a lot of other things going on. One, you mentioned, I think, the biggest mistake he's made, and I would be happy to share this with him also. He definitely needs somebody to tell him to get rid of Jeff Sessions. Sessions has been an absolute disaster. He has no intention to drain the Justice Department swamp. In fact, he's made it worse.
He's covering for them.
He is. He is, absolutely. And one, you already mentioned, the Bundy situation is a typical example why Jeff Sessions has failed and is going to continue to fail, because we now have a judge who was totally corrupt herself, who now is throwing the prosecutors, the federal prosecutors, under the bus, and now has released the Bundys after they were in prison for 2 years unjustifiably, completely unconstitutionally, and she was the one that did that. And now she wants to say, now they're free because of prosecutorial misconduct. And how about judicial misconduct, Judge Navarro? And there's so many different judges that are acting like rogue agents in this horrible Justice Department. And it's going on and on and on. And Jeff Sessions is totally perpetuating it. And so he has got to go. And we got to get somebody in there to drain that. There's no way to drain the swamp and you ignore the criminality of federal judges, the criminality of the IRS, criminality of all these different federal bureaucracies, and you do nothing about it. And so he said he was going to pretty much abolish the Department of Education. Reagan said he was going to abolish it totally. So we need to help these good men keep their promises. And I'm ready to go to bat with him and stand beside the president as we really do make government smaller, get taxes almost out of our lives. In fact, the income tax should not even exist.
It wasn't here until 1913 when the Federal Reserve was created. And that's another thing that Trump sort of backed away from. As when he was running, he was criticizing the Fed, and he made a tweet to Cruz saying, you know, he missed this vote, you know, this is such an important topic, can't believe he would miss this. And then he you know, he swore that he wouldn't reappoint Janet Yellen, so then he appoints someone that's like her clone. So, you know,
too many times we're just changing the names on the doors in Washington, and that's happened far too often. And so we really need to get serious about that. Like we said, let's just make sure we understand. We've got to abolish a lot of these agencies. 3 million employees of the federal government is ridiculous. And there are agencies that have proven to be completely inept, and we can get rid of those. Let's start with the easy ones. First of all, Department of Education.
Maybe start with the ones we want to keep. It might be a shorter list.
Yeah. Well, Department of Education would be an easy one. IRS, you know, how many crimes do they have to commit before we actually say enough is enough? I mean, seriously. And if we made, let's say we kept the federal income tax, let's say we keep it, and that we just simplify it, like how many Republicans have said, the tax code should be as big as a postcard. We keep hearing that every election, and nobody ever does anything about it. Nobody ever fulfills that promise. So if we did keep it simple, we wouldn't even need the IRS. The only reason they're needed is because it's such a convoluted system to begin with.
And it was never designed to have a system where you'd have, you know, one, you know, direct unapportioned tax that goes to everybody, and then it all goes into a big general fund that nobody's then accountable to. So, I mean, let's say if California or Arizona or any state can't afford to pay for this, well, no, we'll just have the federal government pay for it. But who's the federal government? The federal government is made up of us, supposedly. But, you know, we're getting to this point where, you know, as a country, you know, I think we're really just going to get, you know, checkmated at some point. And so that's why, you know, my biggest issue, it was really the Federal Reserve and how everything plays into ultimately the debt, and how, you know, I graduated in 2008 and started my career the day the stock market crashed, the day Lehman Brothers went down. And that's a day that I'll never forget. And what I did was I tried to figure out and reverse engineer, well, how did this happen? And what would we do to fix this? And how bad is the debt situation really? Right. And how do we pay it off? And that's when I started realizing, oh, wait, the Federal Reserve's not federal. And oh, no, wait, I was on the class that won the national competition on the Fed, and I didn't even know that it was federal. And so I was like, if I didn't know it was federal, and I was on the class that won the national competition, how the heck does anybody else know
you
this?
You didn't know it was not federal.
Yeah, I said it was not, that it was not federal, and it wasn't reserving anything.
No.
So, I mean, that's the other problem. And I just see that if you don't address that issue, Trump could be right on, let's say there's 1,000 issues, and he's right on 999. Well, if you don't address that issue, all the other issues don't matter. Because, I mean, even let's say if you're poor, well, then you've got the Federal Reserve printing money, and then now you're on a fixed income, and now everything that you want to buy costs more money. And so I think a lot of what you're talking about should appeal to liberals, because liberals, you know, they don't like Betsy DeVos in there at Department of Education. Well, guess what? If there wasn't a Department of Education, you'd be able to control it at your local level. Correct. If you don't like a federal law, guess what? Now you could have more control at the local level. Right. And there's almost nothing that the federal government does better than a state government besides, you know, extort, kill, lie.
Put innocent people in prison.
Yeah, they're great at doing that. Ruining people's lives.
And that's actually one of the activist areas that I've been very involved in the last 2 years. There's so many innocent people who've been imprisoned by the IRS. So many, you know, right now, Sam Girod, an Amish farmer, sits in prison. He got a 72-month prison sentence from rogue, un-American, unconstitutional, evil judge Danny C. Reeves. I was at his sentencing in Lexington, Kentucky, June 30th of this past year, where this man got, are you ready, what his crime was?
I think I know, so I'm not going to spoil it. Well,
he made a salve out of chickweed.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Like Vaseline, you probably thought it was pasteurized milk.
Yeah, that's...
Okay, many, many Amish farmers have been destroyed and attacked by SWAT teams, some state SWAT teams, some federal, because they don't pasteurize their milk. So you're right about that one. Now they've moved on to other areas. Sam Girod sits in prison because he made a little Vaseline-type salve out of chickweed. Chickweed's a very innocuous little herb. it helps with little rashes and stuff. And because they found one person in Missouri who said that it gave him a rash, they didn't have any proof that it did, but they just he just said it did. So they said, well, you should have... So the serious, let me tell you the three things the judge said this man got 6 years for. He was obstinate. He was stubborn, and he got 6 years for that. He didn't register with the FDA, got 6 years in prison for that, and he didn't give the judge any reason to be lenient. Can you imagine? He didn't kiss the judge's ring. He didn't bow down before the judge and kiss his ring and say how sorry he was. Hey, I've been to court hundreds of times, and I've seen suspects and defendants say they were sorry, and it was a big lie. But as long as the judge heard it, and he was okay with, oh, well, good, he said he was sorry. So I'll be lenient then. This guy refused to say he was sorry because he hadn't done anything wrong. I told him, his son, tell him to say he's sorry. He said, Sheriff Mack, he won't do that. He's not sorry. He didn't do anything wrong. So our government continues to do all these horrible and commit all these horrible atrocities, and yet an Amish farmer who's never committed a crime in his life spends time in prison. And I'm going to shake my finger the most at the DEA. I mean, just 2.5 years ago, USA Today has on the front page of their newspaper, DEA has sex parties in Colombia, prostitutes provided by your local cartels. Here the DEA is supposed to be fighting these groups, and they're taking bribes from them in the form of prostitutes. Now, the Secret Service does it a little bit smarter than the DEA. They don't have the cartels provide them the prostitutes. They just go and get them on their own.
Very polite of them.
I mean, I know. The only thing they had problem with is they didn't want to pay the full price. I mean, so come on. Don't they know the marketplace for prostitution? What are these guys thinking? And so seriously, though, I make fun of this, and I have to be able to still laugh at these guys because they're so laughable.
But look how many times a CIA plane has crashed full of cocaine. How many times? It happens probably.
Well, it hasn't always just been cocaine.
Yeah.
Some others.
Or, you know, or running guns, or, you know, yeah. They call it the cocaine importing agency is one of the jokes I heard about that. But no, it's a complete farce. And what people don't understand is you were actually an undercover narcotics agent for a little while, weren't you?
Yeah. And after that, I said, you mean I risked my life for this? To get pot away from people? And it's not even close to being as dangerous as alcohol, and yet we don't worry about alcohol too much at all, and yet it's everywhere. So, yeah, I really started studying the issue after that. By the time I ran for sheriff, I'd pretty much had it with the marijuana war, the drug war altogether. And first, I just have to ask people, look, let me make this perfectly clear before we go on with that. No one in this room or in this state or in this country hates drug abuse more than I do. I absolutely detest it. I've had it in my own family. I've had it with friends. I've had it in my career. And I am sick of drug abuse. What I'm also disgusted with is the ridiculous facade known as the drug war, that it's going to get rid of the problem and take care of us, and that government assumes the role of forcing us not to be stupid, that it's their job to make sure that we're not, that it's their job to control our appetites and addictions. All of that. They have failed. The drug war has failed. And I think we need to be smart enough about that, that we're not going to spend $95 billion a year of taxpayers' dollars.
That we borrow from China.
Yeah, exactly. On a failed program. On failed policy. And so I'm willing to sit down with anybody in Washington, D.C., with President Trump, but there's no one more qualified than I am to address this issue, and none of my opponents are even addressing it. They're completely oblivious to this problem, and they're going to say, pour more money into the drug war. And I'm going to say, let's stop that facade as well. It's been a huge failure, and let's be honest with the American people and saying, this is another program that we need to stop. And we need to stop spending $95 billion on a program that we, or a problem that we helped cause.
Yeah, and then I mean, they have black budgets that are funded from drug wars of different different agencies who are running it.
Tom Cruise movie about this? It was the whole thing was about this. Just came out a few months ago.
No, I hadn't seen that
what
one.
What was
but
the
I'm,
name of that movie?
American Story.
Yeah, something like that. The American Story, or the true American drug story, or something like that.
Yeah, well, that issue is it's important to me because that's an issue that I've studied a lot. And when you really dig into, how marijuana became illegal in the first place, I mean,
DuPont.
Yeah, the DuPont family.
Cotton industry.
Yeah, the DuPont family was then married into, I think it was the head of the FBI, Henry J. Anslinger, and DuPont had all their investments in cotton at the time, and hemp was their big competitor. The same year they came out with the equivalent of the hemp gin was the same year they made marijuana illegal. It's on the congressional record that it's the most violence-causing drug known to man.
Oh my goodness.
And that little Johnny would take one hit and murder his entire family with an axe. It's in the congressional record can go and read this. And it's just absurd. And then I don't actually think it's a conservative issue to be against these things because so what you're saying is not what you're saying, but what most conservatives who are against this, who are for the drug war, what they're saying is, we need to help people out. We need to do this. Marijuana is awful. However, what you're advocating for, not you, but what the traditional rank and file Republican is advocating for is bigger government. So you want more government to prevent people from doing things that the government can't stop them from doing. Right. And then now you're then encouraging. So from an economic standpoint, the drug war benefits actually, drug dealers, gangs, cartels, they wouldn't be there. And government. They wouldn't even be there if it wasn't for all this stuff. But I guess shifting gears a little bit.
The movie was American Made. And I highly recommend it. It was really a good movie, but it really takes government documents and CIA involvement and exposes this horrible, horrible scene of how America was involved in the drug trade.
Have you ever seen, I think it's called it's either Don't Shoot the Messenger or Don't Kill the Messenger. It was about this reporter, Gary Webb, he was the one who uncovered that there was a guy named Rick Ross, not the rapper Rick Ross, but Rick Ross, the rapper, stole his.
I don't know rappers.
Yeah, he's, in case anybody out there, here's this. It's not the rapper Rick Ross. It's he took his name from this guy who, Rick Ross, who was the largest cocaine dealer in America. And this uneducated, poor black guy. Well, then he wasn't poor because he was the biggest drug dealer in America at one point. However, they ended up uncovering documents that it basically led to that the guy he was getting his drugs from was working for the CIA. Yeah. And then now he's come out and basically, detested the drug war and trying to, help kids out and tell them not to do drugs. But Obama, did he have him, try to, educate kids? No, he didn't. He had the real Rick Ross. He had the rapper Rick Ross, who had an ankle bracelet in his office, but he didn't have the Rick Ross who's actually now trying to do some good. Right. But the movie was called, I believe it's Don't Kill the Messenger, and then the reporter who found this out then shot himself twice in the back of the head right after he was on Alex Jones and said, I would never commit suicide. Right. And so, there's some shady things going on with that, but that's a really, interesting story. But I wanted to shift gears into taxes, because you had mentioned lowering taxes or getting rid of the IRS. I really think that this current tax system we have right now, it's already obsolete before we've even, before this tax system has even come out. It's already obsolete, in my opinion. And I think a better way, if you're going to extort people, a better way of doing it would be through a consumption tax. Because that way, there's no way, you wouldn't need an IRS. And also it would deal with, let's say, the Bitcoin, I don't want to call it a problem. But now you've got all these people who have, lots of money through Bitcoin, and now they need to worry about, keeping track of all the expenses, and it's a gigantic pain for them. And I guess two-part question would be, what would you do for taxes? And I guess also how you'd feel on cryptocurrency.
Well, I've already signed a survey and a tax pledge, and I'll tell you right now, I support the consumption tax. You pay for what you use. And that's a simple process. I worry about that a little bit because they might just keep raising that consumption tax also, which government seems to have a habit of doing. But the income tax should be abolished, and I agree with doing that. I will say right now, I'll quote one of my favorite politicians in American history, Ron Paul. I will abolish the IRS and the federal income tax and replace them with
Nothing.
And he was right. And he said that some 20, 30 years ago, and he kept saying it for a long time. He said it at his presidential campaigns, and I totally agree with that. They are absolutely out of touch with our American Constitution, with the principles of liberty. And in fact, liberty, individual liberty, and the IRS and this kind of taxation cannot coexist. And technically, they really haven't. And the IRS has committed so many different crimes, but let's just say, let's put the, all those horrible crimes aside. They violate the Constitution, and that is this. I teach criminal justice, I teach constitutional government, and I keep reading this Fourth Amendment where it says cops have to have probable cause. And yet the IRS goes after people criminally every day and monitor every single one of our financial transactions with complete impunity. They answer to no one. In fact, I was at a meeting when I was actually involved in the Brady Bill lawsuit back when I was sheriff, and the NRA invited me to some big, I mean, this is a big meeting in Washington, D.C., where they're actually honoring me. And who's there? Every major politician or Republican who supported the Second Amendment, they're all there. Orrin Hatch, Phil Graham, Trent Lott, who was, I think he was majority leader of the Senate at the time. He was sitting right here to my left. And so I thought, oh, hey, I have these powerful people's ear. So I asked him, I said, when are we going to do something about the Gestapo of America? And he goes, well, you're talking about the IRS. I said, you're damn right I am. And I said, amazing that you knew I was. But I said, what are we going to do about them? He goes, oh, it'll never happen. I'm going, why? He goes, because we're just as intimidated by them as everybody else. He says, they can go after us anytime they want, and they already have. So he says, it'll never happen. And I'm astonished by that. In fact, I just wanted to write, I didn't do it, but I said, what are you, some sort of coward? I thought you were supposed to be working for the people here. And you're letting innocent people be attacked by this, and you're the one that's supposed to oversee these people. You're part of Congress. You control this, probably more than the president does. You're the majority leader of the United States Senate.
Control the purse strings, Congress.
Exactly. So, anyway, I don't believe that the IRS is untouchable. And I believe that, again, that I would be terrific reinforcement backup unit for the president. Who else better than the constitutional sheriff, America's sheriff, Sheriff Richard Mack? President Trump, I'm on my way. Okay.
And I could not agree more. And actually, I was thinking originally that before you got into the race and before Trent Franks stepped down, is I was 50-50 on running against Trent Franks, actually. And I had already come up with memes and strategies of how I was going to feed him and different angles to go through. And then I'm actually in the midst of starting a new company next week. So,
well, let me tell you, all the money you were going to put into that, donate it to SheriffRichardMack.com.
Yeah, well, I ended up, long story of federal regulations, but...
Make sure Teresa puts a donation in, SheriffRichardMack.com, okay?
Yeah, and make sure if you guys are watching this to share it, like it, comment, because, you know, people who have this message are stopped. People who have this message are censored a lot of times, and I see, you know, a lot of yard signs for another candidate all the way around. And I see when they mailed out the early ballots, and, you know, you guys take a wild stab at who I've already voted for in the early ballot. But, you know, I'm wondering, like, how do they rank the names that are on there? Is it because I noticed that you were last, and then, you know,
it's different every ballot. You know, some areas I've already seen one where I was right in the middle. I haven't seen one where I was at the top. But I've seen different ballots all over the valley.
Yeah, and the one that I got, you were last.
Very last.
Which is probably better than being in the middle. Probably either, you know, first.
Well,
or,
Mac usually is, M is usually in the middle, and so I don't think it really matters.
At the top was Montenegro, so you know, I think Mac and you think that would be
we would be close together. But I've seen him in the middle. I've seen Lovis in the middle. I've seen different ones in the middle, and quite honestly, I'll use a little pun and play on words here. They're all in the middle. When it comes to these Republicans, all four of these mainstream candidates are middle of the road. Be careful, Republican candidates. They're part of the machine. They're part of the establishment. They don't even get what you and I are talking about here, most of it. When you start talking about the Constitution and the nuances of the Constitution and individual liberty, they have no clue. I mean, when you take in Montenegro's continued lies about his national popular vote that he co-sponsored. And he, no, I didn't. And then you find out that his name's on it. Well, yeah, I did, but it didn't mean what it said. And it didn't. It really didn't mean to get rid of the Electoral College. And then you find out that it said that too. But it doesn't need to say Electoral College. Steve, this is what we're talking about here. You don't understand the basic fundamental principle of a law. If it says national popular vote, when that passes, that gets rid of the Electoral College because it puts the national popular vote ahead of that, and it elects the president. So if Steve Montenegro had his way, Hillary Clinton would be President Clinton right at this moment. And I can think of nothing worse that could have happened to America than that.
And he'd probably also have her, you know, in charge of the TPP, being able to basically get rid of our Constitution and have this living, living treaty that's going on. And he was endorsed by Trent Franks, who Trent Franks was pro TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership. I actually read the financial aspect of it that was leaked, and it was awful. It was, let's say if you were Italy and you wanted to ban GMO foods, and that cost Italy, let's say, $5 billion. Well, then you'd have a corporate tribunal that sits above the countries that then charges Italy the $5 billion. And it was fascism. It was Trump actually killed fascism, and not a peep from the left. And then you've got other fascism going on right now, where you've got central banks around the world printing money out of thin air and then buying up the stock market with it. I mean, not today, obviously, but but I mean, the Swiss National Bank has $40,000 for every family of four of just U.S. stocks that they printed out of thin air. And so that is the state, and that's the state and corporate merger right there. If you have the state, you know, being a country, printing money out of thin air and then buying up corporations with it, that is actual fascism. And I don't see a peep on the left or on the right from that. And with Steve Montenegro, I'm just wondering, like, has he ever had a real job? I don't really know. I couldn't really find too much info.
He says he was a minister once, or that his dad was. I think he gets confused about that. He always starts his public forums with his dad was a minister and he's a minister. And then you find out that, well, he's actually been in the state legislature for quite a while, and he's from El Salvador, and I don't know. He's very confused, and he really doesn't know where he stands. And again, like I said, middle. And you know what? My dad always told me, stay off the middle because the fence will tear your britches. And that's exactly what's happened to the Republicans that are running against me right now. And these mainstream guys that have been in Congress, legislature, they want to go to Congress so they can continue their middle-of-the-road approach to freedom, liberty, and our country's economy. And the economy that we have now, based on debt and credit, is unsustainable. The national debt is unsustainable. And people who think, and I've seen a lot of analysts say this, look, the economy has survived this long with deficit spending and trillions of dollars of debt, so it'll be okay. Sooner or later, every day gets us closer to the disaster that this is building up to be.
The noose is getting tighter around our neck every day.
It is, every day. And for leadership to ignore that is just unfathomable, and it's unforgivable. And so if you want somebody in Washington that will stop this, then again, and I was being a little bit facetious about donations, I'm asking people for donations. We have 2.5 weeks left, and if we can get some donations and compete with some of the media that my opponents, wealthy opponents, are paying for, we can win this. And let me tell you logistically how I can really win this, okay? Four or five of these mainstream candidates split up the vote pretty evenly, and then the dark horse starts really to take off. I'm the dark horse. I can win this. Literally, you can win this race with 18%, because there's so many. There's 12 candidates. Some of them won't get even a percent, but the mainstreamers will get, 15, 17%, and if they do, we can win this, and I can win it, and I will. Again, though, we've got to have financial help for this campaign.
And how much, for people who are out there, how much is your freedom worth? How much is your children, your grandchildren's freedoms worth? Because, you know, is it worth $5? Is it worth $10? Is it worth $1,000? I mean, I would say it is, especially if you're in Arizona. We don't have very many opportunities. Everyone always talks about, you know, we need good people in Congress, or we need to drain the swamp.
Why can't we get a good candidate to run?
And now we have a good, and now we have a good candidate, and people are, you know, every time I tell somebody about you, they're like, oh, he's running? Oh, that, yeah. And then, but they don't know that you're running because you see the machine backing these other people. And it's just so obvious that, you know, I don't really know too much about Montenegro, but it just looks like that he's a yes man of the machine, yes man of the establishment. Oh, totally. He doesn't look very, you know, intimidating at all. I mean, I think you're a pit bull, you know, for freedom and for liberty, and that you're going to go in there and, you know, kick ass and take names. Whereas I just see him being like, you know, let's see how I can advance my political career, and let's be like Trent Franks and find out how he got, you know, worth $34 million going to Congress broke, you know. So I think he's following in that footsteps of, you know, hey, if I just, you know, appease the right people and, you know, vote for the right bills, and I'll, you know, advance myself and my political agenda. And like I was telling people out there, is I was thinking about running the one in November, not with a special election that came up. I have way too much stuff going on right now. But then I found out through the grapevine that you were running. I think it was Ernie maybe told me you were running or thinking about it. Right. And I was like, good, one less thing I have to do. Yeah. And really, I mean, when it comes to politicians or even law enforcement, I mean, I'm not like a Blue Lives Matter type guy. I'm very issue oriented because there's plenty of police out there who are willing to take away my rights. Plenty of federal officers willing to take away my rights.
That's true.
But when it comes to, you know, a constitutional sheriff and a politician, I mean, there's very, very few. I mean, I probably count them on two hands that I like, and you're one of them. And so when I found out that you're actually running in my own district, I was just beside myself. I'm like, great, you know. But now, you know, the game's not over. We still have a lot of work to do. We've got 2.5 weeks left. So let people know how this process works, because is this the primary for the Republicans, and then it goes on to a general?
So February 27th is the primary for the Republican Party and also Democrats. They've got three. I don't even care about them right now. But so we've really got 2.5 weeks to really buckle down. I need everybody looking at this, being part of this, all your contacts, everybody's contacts, to get involved in this. Volunteer, make a donation. Oh, and by the way, I don't know how much your freedom is worth to you, but you can't donate more than $2,700. So donate $2,700 if you can. If you can donate $5, donate that. All I ask is that everybody do it. Look, this isn't for me, okay?
It's not fun running for this. It's not fun getting attacked.
If it was for me, I would say donate to my retirement fund. My wife and I want to move to Hawaii, okay? That's what I would say. What I am saying is, if you want somebody to go to Washington and be even stronger and better than Ron Paul was, if you want somebody there that's going to be defending your rights.
He was too nice. I mean, that was my biggest critic of him. Not a knock that he's too nice, but I mean, we need somebody in there who's, you know, shaking things around.
And like you were saying a little while ago, I mean, why send one of these Republican poodles to Washington, D.C. when we need a bulldog? And so let's get serious about this. Look at your own situation and say what freedom really means to you. Having a constitutional candidate in Washington, D.C. with a proven record. You don't have to worry about me promising anything. I've lived this. The Republican Liberty Caucus endorsed me over a lot of mainstream candidates because they have one criteria for their endorsement, liberty. And they looked at the candidate with a proven track record of standing for liberty. It's part of who I am. It's my DNA. And anybody can check my record. You don't have to worry about it. It's there. I'm not making empty promises. Just look at who I am and what I've done.
Judge a tree by its fruits. And that was one of the things I had written down. And you see so many times politicians, especially Republicans, you know, talking a big game, but they don't do anything. And, you know, you've got a track record that goes back longer than I've been alive of actually doing what you said you're going to do and being consistent the entire time. And I take a look at your platform, and it feels like it's something that I could have wrote. So, I mean, number one is abolish superfluous and corrupt bureaucracy. So that's, you know, the IRS, FBI, DEA, EPA, FDA, ATF, BLM.
Like we're doing a rap song there. Keep going, man.
Yeah, keep going. All the alphabets here. Take back Arizona lands from the federal government. I mean, right now they own 70% of our state, which is absolutely
ridiculously stupid. How did Arizona allow that to happen? And why don't we have anybody in Arizona doing something about it?
When people come and visit me, they say, "Whoa, there's all this open land. Like, how come all the houses are on top of each other?" I'm like, "Well, it's because the government, the federal government, owns all the land. Right. That's why the that's why the situation is like it is." Number three, follow the Bill of Rights. I mean, that, you know, should go without saying. However, you know, you take a look at, you know, how many of these Bill of Rights have been eroded, and I mean, and then even you get the NSA powers get to, you know, be renewed, and the NSA is being used as a political weapon against Trump, and they want to, you know, pigeonhole, blame everything on the FBI.
Let me give one example on that. The Second Amendment clearly makes gun control against the law in America. Do you know how many gun control laws we have? Over 22,000 gun control laws. Absolutely, probably the most vivid and stark example of how far off our legislatures are in this country, in this state, because they have absolutely no authority to pass any of those. Now, I will say this also. If you really want to understand the Second Amendment, read it. And then let's act accordingly. Government has one job relative to my right to keep and bear arms. Do you know what that is? To make sure it's guaranteed, that it's protected, and that it's secured. That's it. So that just abolishes the BATF. Thank you very much. They're gone.
No, that's wonderful. And then this is the biggie for me, and I doubt this is on anybody else's platform, but audit the Fed. And I used to be really big into audit the Fed and then end the Fed, and now...
Okay, you don't want to audit them? Abolish them. There you go.
No, yeah. And
one or the other.
Or, you know, and I'm also in the cryptocurrency space, so that would be, you know, ignore them.
Yeah.
I don't mean commit any you know, commit any, you know, any tax fraud or anything, but, you know, it's starting to get to the point where eventually our currency is going
to... Taxes are a fraud.
It is a fraud, and so actually the company I'm creating is a cryptocurrency estate planning company where people can do advanced estate planning to get charitable trust and then get big tax deductions, where if they have millions in crypto, they can get basically make a better situation out of what they're doing. So are your thought, would you be one of the people out there trying to ban cryptocurrencies? We see politicians who say, you know, we've got, you know, drug dealers could be using it, terrorists could be using it.
No.
And
the government doesn't want competition with that, for sure.
I mean, how many of these terrorists over in Syria or Iraq are driving, you know, Toyotas, you know, that we gave them, and then we drop off pallets of cash in Iran, and how many times, you know, these, you know, what is it, 80... There was all these M1 Abrams tanks that ended up with, you know, the with all these terrorists, and then we fund, you know, Al Qaeda and the Free Syrian Army and Al Nusra Front, and then change the name to ISIS. And it's just such a joke and such a farce. And it's like, you know what? If you want to ban the number one thing the terrorists use the most to finance themselves with, you got to ban the dollar. You know?
Yeah. And no, I'm all in favor of the market competition that anybody wants to present to our dollar that used to be based on gold and or silver, which is not there anymore. So by all means, you want to create a currency and you're not hurting anybody else, you know, go for it. Obviously, cryptocurrencies have been quite successful. They haven't hurt anybody. The only thing I'd say about it is I wished I had invested in them about 3.5 years ago. So, but no biggie there.
We've got a guy here sitting in jail. They actually busted him on April 20th, 420, because they thought they'd find. So they busted him with, they came in with the SWAT team.
Of course.
But not just that, the DEA, Homeland Security, Treasury agents, there's local sheriffs, Scottsdale police, and all they found was 60 stray bullets in his house, and they charged him with a felon in possession of ammo from a marijuana charge from 20 years ago that he had a few grams on him. So he's been in jail since April 20th. He's been in jail awaiting his trial and for selling Bitcoin.
Oh, my God.
And it's one of Ernie's best friends.
And see, I'm going to have to tell you. This is to address that problem, and I touched on it a little bit earlier. We must create a presidential and or congressional committee to review all of these ridiculous arrests from these out-of-control bureaucracies from the last 10 years. I would go back further, but it's going to overwhelm this committee to do that. And we need to get this committee very well-staffed, not with taxpayers' dollars, but we'll just do it ourselves or get private funding. And then we bring in investigators to review all of these arrests, all of these imprisonments, and then get each one of them in front of Trump for an immediate pardon. And we get these wiped out. That's another thing that Jeff Sessions should be working on, but he's too inept to do that either, because he's so caught up in being the Attorney General that he's forgotten what the Attorney General's for, and that is Justice Department. It's justice. And so I'm really...
Or now it's the Injustice Department.
Yeah, of course. It's been that way for a long time. But there are so many hundreds and literally thousands of Americans that should not be in prison, and most of them are just for bureaucratic red tape crap, or they've offended a bureaucrat like Sam Girard did with the FDA. The only reason he went to jail in prison because he offended federal bureaucrats. So we've got to turn that around, and we've got to put justice first and America first. And I'm ready to do it. I've got a lot of energy. I'm still real young, and I can still be anybody. I'm going to say this right now.
We're younger than the other sheriff who's going to be running in the Senate race.
Yeah.
So
I will be any of my opponents in a one-on-one in basketball, one-on-one in tennis, and I'll make the same challenge to anybody in Congress. I'll take any of you young whippersnappers on, not just in politics, but in basketball or tennis or anything you want. You name the game, I'm ready to go. But the thing of it is, I'm more interested, I'll play on their softball team too, you know, but I'm more interested in putting America first. Let's put the Constitution first. Let's put justice first. And let's put these poor families who have lost their loved ones to rogue bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. It is out of control. Trump knows it's out of control. He campaigned on that it's out of control. And I'm ready to control that and work with Trump to really make this dream come true for the American people. Don't talk about dreams. Don't talk about draining the swamp, and don't talk about making America great again when we leave thousands of innocent Americans in prison. No. It's time to get those people out and to restore justice.
We have more prisoners per capita than anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we want to talk about freedom all day, and then we take a look at how many things you can do. I mean, starting your own company, just look at all the different pieces of red tape someone has to go through, and then you might, you know, be in violation of this law. It's impossible to actually follow every single law because, I mean, they change every day, and there's, you know, more than, you know, probably could fill up this entire room for just laws that govern my industry. And it's insane. But, you know, the people need to go to, is it Sheriff Richard Mack for Congress? Is that the website?
No, just sheriffrichardmack.com.
Okay, sheriffrichardmack.com. He's also got the Facebook page, Sheriff Richard Mack for Congress. You guys can go there, donate, check out the platform. Make sure you share this because this message is not getting out on the mainstream right now. We need to push this through. We need to push this out through the culture. If there's nothing else that Donald Trump did, it was really to help change this culture. But it's not enough to just have one person out there because this job is way too big. It's not even enough to even just send you there. We need to start sending people like you everywhere.
Right.
Now, unfortunately, I guess I couldn't run now because you'd be in my district. But you know, there's enough places out in Arizona where you know I'm glad that we have good people who are here, but we need better people. And yeah sure, you know, Trent Franks is probably better than 95% of the people that were in there, but that's just because the other 95% of the people, the bar was so low that, you know, you'd have to trip over it.
Right.
And, you know, I take a look at somebody like you, and we have a chance right now to actually do this. You know, you do have national name brand recognition. We need to make sure people here know that you're running, and we need to make sure that, you know, they're donating to you, they're telling their friends, they're sharing this, they're liking, they're commenting, because we have a chance right now to put an actual constitutionalist in there right now. I think there's a lot of things that a lot of stances you have that people on the left should like what you're doing, and I think there's a lot of things you're doing that people on the right should also like what you're doing, because I don't classify you as somebody on the left or the right. I don't classify myself as somebody on the left or the right. I'm rebranding as the Liberty Advisor. You're the constitutional sheriff, and I think that we need to send you there. So it's sheriffrichardmack.com. You guys can go there, donate, share this, and really appreciate you being here today, and thank you for all your time. I know you're a busy man, and you know, I hope hopefully when I come back from Mexico, hopefully you are our new congressman.
Thanks so much. Appreciate being with you.
Yep, thank you. Thanks for having us, guys.